Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Fox News Podcast presents Bret Baier's All-Star Panel.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fox's chief political anchor, Bret Baier.
Former special counsel Robert Hur, who led the investigation into President Biden's mishandling of classified documents, facing tough questions on Capitol Hill from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle regarding his conclusion the president should not be charged with a crime.
The White House question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie, is just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right.
President Biden is continuing to walk back phrasing from his State of the Union address, where he referred to Georgia nursing student Laken Riley's killer as, quote, an illegal, experiencing some backlash from his own party for the choice of words. Plus, more voters are heading to the polls in Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Washington as President Biden and former President Trump get closer to clinching their party's nomination mathematically. To discuss all of this and more, we bring in our panel, Wall Street Journal board member Bill McGurn, Fox News congressional correspondent Chad Pergram, and Democratic strategist Carly Cooperman. Chad, start with you. What's the take from the Hur testimony today?
Well, I think it was kind of summed up by Ken Buck, the Republican representative from Colorado, who's leaving. And we can talk about that more in a little bit here. He announced that he was going to step aside. He said, you know, look, he said half the people on the committee here think that Robert Hur was trying to help former President Trump by, you know, calling out the president, saying he couldn't remember certain things and the various interviews that had been conducted. And then the other group thinks that they're trying to help President Biden. And he said, welcome to Congress. If you've kind of ticked off both sides. The question is whether or not this moves the meter at all toward an actual impeachment vote in the House of Representatives. That's really hard to say and probably very challenging, if for no other reason, as I said a moment ago, with the departure of Ken Buck, because that reduces the GOP majority. They're going to be down to two seats here very soon and one seat after a special election in New York, presumably in late April, which probably will go the Democrats' way. We've thought that they are probably 20 to 30 votes short on impeachment to start with. But again, is this really about impeachment? Republicans can go to their base voters and say, we've done a lot. We exposed the president. We've exposed questions about his memory. We've exposed issues about how he handled classified documents over a decades-long period here, that there was a trend here. They can make the case that there was a special consideration given to the president, maybe because of his memory, as Jim Jordan, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, suggested. And maybe, you know, they treated the Justice Department, did the Biden Justice Department, they will say, treated former President Trump differently. So that will resonate with some of those Republican voters. And Democrats will say maybe Robert Hur went too far. And that's exactly the criticism we heard when he put out his report some weeks ago, Brett.
Carly, Democrats, a couple of them today, tried to get Hur to say that he exonerated President Biden. He said under oath that he did not. Mm-hmm. But yet there was this sense that they did have success in comparing and contrasting the two different handlings of an investigation by President Biden and by former President Trump.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Democrats are making the point that the fundamental conclusion, which is that her recommended no charges for Biden as it relates to the classified materials, and that that point was made. And then also that her did say that Biden's conduct was not the same as what Trump did, which led to a criminal prosecution for him. And while, again, you know, Democrats don't want to sit here and have conversations that relate to Biden's age and to his mental fitness, the conclusion that her came away with still stands. And I think that that's where Democrats want to make the point that this is not the same as what the trouble that Trump got into, and that her did not recommend going further with this, despite the fact that it opened up wounds that, you know, many face in terms of how they perceive Biden.
Right. And I guess that's the other question here, is that after the State of the Union address, when some on the left were cheering that President Biden kind of overcame all of the talk that he was infirm and senile or losing it, losing a step, and that he came out fighting and delivered this speech with vigor and really took it to Republicans. On the flip side, you have this report where he gave this interview for a long time, and the conclusion that Special Counselor Herb comes to is that he would be a very sympathetic figure in court. And that's one of the reasons not to bring charges, is because he's an older man who's forgetful, and it would be tough to get a jury to convict on this.
Yeah, I think the case came down to that. The evidence that Joe Biden mishandled these classified documents over decades and in multiple places is overwhelming. But, you know, the special counsel concluded it'd be hard to get a jury to convict, and so he recommended no charges. I thought the hearing was interesting because when her first released the report back in February, Democrats and their allies just jumped all over them. Accused him being a tool of MAGA and everything because of the language about Biden's diminished mental capacities. And they reacted strongly to that, I think, because that is the president's weakness going into the 2024 elections. But I think it backfired. The more they complained about it, the more the focus is on Biden's mental health. I mean, the thing is, Robert Hur didn't make this issue up. It's what people say every day. But then it bore the imprint of the Justice Department, and they were really mad. So I think this time at the hearing, I watched it all, and I thought mostly they went with what they should have done the first time. No criminal charges, and Trump's case is different from Biden's, and kind of lightly tread on the part about Biden being an old man with a bad memory, because anytime the topic is Biden's mental fitness, he loses.
Panel, we'll hold it right there.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, Chad, you mentioned the diminishing majority here with Ken Buck resigning at the end of next week. This is, you know, you were already at 2.
Right, exactly. And as I say, it goes down to 1 because you have this special election in Western New York for the Brian Higgins seat that probably goes to the Democrats. Maybe the Republicans, you know, get one back here because you have the special election for the Kevin McCarthy seat in California. That's in May. But really, you know, you are one delayed plane away from not having the votes to pass whatever it is you want to pass in the majority. And already, you know, Democrats have kind of been dominating this in the past couple of months of the year because, you know, they have passed bills to keep the government open on multiple occasions and other bills with more Democratic votes than Republican votes. That's significant. Democrats effectively have been in control of the House of Representatives. And Mike Johnson, you know, he's taking some heat from his conservatives, but by the same token, they also just seem to like him better and tend to give him a lot more latitude than they did Kevin McCarthy. So he's not going anywhere. As somebody put it to me a few days ago, we've changed the personnel once. That didn't make things any better. So what else are we going to do? So they really are probably not going to go back down to this well. But that's the danger here, you know, for the Republicans. And this is the problem as we go into the general election. it doesn't take that much for the Democrats to flip the House. You look at those New York seats. The Republicans prevailed in those seats in 2022, redistricting there. The House of Representatives, control of the House will be decided probably in New York State and California. And, that will tell us whether or not we have a Democratic or Republican majority here. But I tell you, what they have to do in the next couple of weeks, they have to fund the government. I asked Ken Buck because his statement said, I'm going to be done at the end of next week. And I said, well, when at the end of next week? And he said, on the 22nd. I said, at the end of the day? And he said, yes. And the reason I asked that question is because that's the date that they have to fund the government the next tranche of spending bills. And so maybe they need that vote around to keep the government open, whether or not they have to do yet another interim spending bill, because at this point, we are a week and a half away, and they really haven't made much progress on getting that bigger tranche, about two-thirds of all federal spending, ready to go. That includes the Department of Homeland Security and the Defense Department, Labor Department, Health and Human Services. I mean, that is a big chunk of money right there, Brett.
But, Chad, it's so small, the majority, so slim, down to one, if you think that way, if it could go that way, that you're in a place where you could have a recruitment effort to flip somebody. Jim Jeffords did it in the Senate and from Vermont, and it changed the majority. We haven't seen it in the House because there's usually been a few. But, I mean, you could possibly get somebody to flip, and then
I would never rule anything like that out. I mean, back in the mid-90s, you had people like Greg Laughlin, who was a Democrat turned Republican after Republicans got control of the House, the Gingrich revolution. You had Phil Graham, who was a member, started out as a Democrat and then resigned his seat and then ran for re-election as a Republican and won, got his seat back. So you had things like this. But let me really do some of the crunching of these numbers here. We go to the Brian Higgins seat. Let's say that the Republicans lose that seat and it's a Democratic seat. So the number is actually this, 218 to 214. So to get across that delta, even though it is, you can only lose one vote, because if you lose two, that's a tie. Okay, you can lose only one vote. To flip four seats or three seats or whatever it is, that's still a pretty good delta there. So it's more than one or two people that you have to flip control. That was the difference that you refer to in the Senate in 2001, because it was a 50-50 Senate, and Jim Jeffords became he was Republican, became an independent, and then said he would caucus with the Democrats, and that's why Tom Daschle from South Dakota then became the majority leader.
Yeah. Charlie, we focused on the presidential race so significantly, and obviously it is looking like it's going to be President Biden versus former President Trump. But you look at these other races with these majorities in both chambers so tight, it is going to be crucial, every single one.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a lot of question about what kind of impact Biden at the top of the ticket is going to have for Democrats down ballot and, Trump on the Republican side as well. And I think that as, strategists working on either side of the aisle, so much about calculation matters as we look at the various races in play, because, there's a lot of talk on the Democratic side about how enthusiasm is lacking. A lot of disaffected Democrats who don't want Joe Biden to be at the top of the ticket. I do believe to some extent these people are going to come back at the end of the day, even so reluctantly, to vote for him. But it's really imperative because, at the same time, there are races down ballot that, are going to be impacted in terms of how the presidential turnout is and control of the House and control of the Senate is going to be so close, as well as a lot of ballot initiatives and measures that are going to be on the ballot this year, too.
Yeah. Finally, Bill, as we get ready to get into budget land, we haven't really turned the corner on dealing with the biggest issue, which is debt and deficit, and neither party is doing anything about it.
Right. I mean, it's a big issue that concerns everyone. Republicans are pretty good at complaining about it. They haven't done it. Partly, they don't have the majorities they need to get it done. But the ones pushing the most for cuts are angry at the leadership, because the leadership, being outvoted by both Biden and the Senate, just don't have the votes to do it. So I think the problem just continues. It's a perennial problem in the U.S. that legislators have an incentive to spend, and sometimes they do it both parties. But President Biden shows no sign that he wants to do anything about it.
Well, it's an amazing time. Thank you so much. Now for a bit of history. On March 12, 1947, after the British government stated it would no longer provide military and economic assistance to the Greek government in its civil war against the Greek Communist Party, President Harry S. Truman made a dramatic speech to a joint session of Congress, which would later be referred to as the Truman Doctrine, asking for assistance for Greece and Turkey. This speech established that the United States would provide military and economic assistance to all democratic nations under threat from external or internal authoritarian forces. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Bill, Chad, and Carly, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.